request from the Physician and Dentists Union regarding callback pay. Marilyn, you want to?
Yes, well, just a quick overview. You have a packet in your, a packet of information that was in your board information. The physicians have requested to come speak to the board on callback pay. We have done an analysis of this. You've seen everything that we've talked about at the board level to date. You have a memo from Kurt on the top, and the ultimate recommendation is to refer this to council for further analysis. But we do want to give the doctors the opportunity, and I guess their attorney, too, to come talk to the board.
I guess I'm happy to hear the comments. I did read, all of us have the information in the packet, so I've got the letter from council and the two accompanying letters. My inclination is to support the staff or the recommendation to refer to legal counsel, given the number of issues. So if we were going to have presentations, I would just politely suggest that the speakers not repeat what's in writing, or if there's something else or new or different. Otherwise, I think we all have that information. That would be my, and to keep it brief, yes. Not because we're not interested, but because we have a lot on the agenda.
Richard? I don't have an objection, but if what we're going to do is refer it to council to talk, wouldn't it just be more appropriate to have their side and council talk and then come back? I mean, we're not making a decision today, or we possibly, I don't know. If we're just going to kick it to council, mm-hmm. I just would make sure that everybody gets in the room to talk, and then.
Well, I think one thing is they are here. They have requested it. obviously, we need council's input, but it would be helpful for me at least to hear a little bit more, because I'm still confused about some of the concepts in here. And maybe we could make sure there's certain questions that when council gets back to us are answered. Well, I already have one, but I'll wait till the end of the comment on what I would like a specific answer on. So maybe we could limit it to like 10 minutes or something, and hopefully they can get their information in, you know, with something. That would be my suggestion.
Okay. For your
Hey, thank you for the opportunity to come and speak. A lot of what I'm going to say you have read.
I'll try and just identify yourself. Yep. It is being recorded, so.
Excuse me?
If you could just identify yourself.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
My name is David McDonald. I'm one of the staff physicians at Contra Costa Regional Medical Center. I work in the Department of Surgery and Family Medicine, and I've been working at the county for over 23 years. I'm here on behalf of our membership. I'm president of PDOC, the Physicians and Dentists Union, and especially I'm here on behalf of those who work the inpatient services and take call for the hospital. We are concerned about the decision that CSERA has made back in June regarding call back, which we label as call worked. CSERA states that the decision that they made actually was made back in 97, but by mistake, it was not implemented at that time. In the statement that I wrote for you, I referenced several physicians, many who are here today, including Dr. Sharon Heiner, Dr. Steve Daniels, Dr. Tremaine could not make it today. Also here from the inpatient side is Dr. Stuart Foreman, head of critical care medicine, Dr. Sergio Cuyo, head of inpatient medicine, Felicia Tornabeni, who is our physician medical director in charge of inpatient medical services in general. So callback was defined by CSERA as apparently unscheduled overtime work. It appears that this definition, however, has been globally applied to our group And we feel that the application of this term or definition is unfair for our situation. When we're on call, we don't simply carry a pager and passively wait for a catastrophe to happen. We are actively working while on call, and I think that that's perhaps the big difference in our situation. The nature of our call and call worked, or call back, as has been labeled by CSERA, is ongoing engagement in providing patient care. We actively manage the patients that we are consulted on over the phone and in person. The work in person is a continuation of the work over the phone. In particular, our presence in the hospital on weekends and holidays is absolutely mandatory while we are on call during those times. We must come into the hospital to manage the inpatient services, just like these services are managed during the regular work week. We ram with the residents, we see patients, and we provide consults to the emergency department and to the other inpatient services. Our call is assigned, obligatory, and scheduled on a regular basis. CSERA should take into special consideration the nature of our work. Again, our call work is an extension of and inseparable from our regular on-call duty. Both occur together within a set scheduled period of time, and both should qualify equally as compensation earnable. As a union guy, I'm also concerned about how this policy change was managed by CSERA so many years ago. As far as our members know, there was never a change regarding the pensionability of our call work. Our members were never instructed to fill out their timesheets in a different manner from what they had already been doing. We received no new direction from CSERA or from the county. We have been operating under the status quo, and our members have made ongoing pension contributions for this pay item this entire time, reinforcing the idea that this compensation would count towards our retirement. So in reality, we have had an ongoing agreement with the county and CSERA regarding callback compensation as being pensionable. The impact is that our members have made career decisions influenced by this agreement. Working at the county has been less financially advantageous than working in other systems, but at least there was an understanding of what work at the county meant with respect to future retirement and so forth. This concept of a reasonable and predictable pension helped us to recruit and retain physicians over the years. By the act that CSERA has taken, it has really broken the agreement that we've had over this period of time, and has made the county a less attractive place to work. So we will suffer in the future with respect to further recruitment and retention. So in the past, the ball was dropped on this issue. CSERA made a policy change, and it didn't implement that change. And not only did it not implement it, but it failed to follow up on to make sure that that change had been in effect. Who's at fault? I mean, it can go back between CSERA and the county and so forth, but it's our members who have really suffered from this. CSERA states a mistake happened a long, long time ago and that they've had to correct the situation. Unfortunately, CSERA has then applied the correction retroactively. We had a member who was going to retire in the spring, and the last day he checked in on that on his situation and was told, oh, by the way, this no longer counts. Actually, it was more towards May or June. So he had to rescind his retirement that same day that he was planning to retire. So we say that the two wrongs don't make a right, and our members have been harmed by CSERA's action, and we feel that this is unjust. We're asking that SACERA reverse its decision that it made back in June and honor the long-term agreement it has had with its physician members, those who have been dedicated providers in the county's healthcare system for so many years. Currently, a lot of our docs feel like perhaps they made a mistake by coming to work for the county and being subjected to this. We need to continue to move forward. We need to be able to recruit physicians and dentists and to provide this call service that we do, and to know that it's going to be treated like it always has, as a pensionable event. Thank you.
We have a question.
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead. You mentioned it's weekends and the holidays. Are these doctors that are scheduled Monday through Friday? And then the second part is if there's doctors that are scheduled on the weekend, do they have, I think you called on work during the week? Why the weekends and holidays?
Well, the same care for the patient that happens during the regular work week also has to exist on the weekends. So if I'm on call Saturday, I have to be there Saturday in-house, oversee all of the services. It's a little more burdensome because it's me versus a team of people who are there on the weekday. But I have to oversee that care to make sure that all the patients have been seen, that they've been correctly cared for, and consult on new admissions and so forth.
So I guess the question is, so you work Monday through Friday or Monday through Friday?
Monday through Friday is my usual schedule, yeah.
Nobody's scheduled on the weekend to do what's done Monday through Friday?
We have one individual who is part of her regular work week is here on Sunday periodically. That's kind of a shifting thing. But for the most part, the weekend coverage is provided by people who are on call.
Scott, question. Did I hear you say that on-call physicians are required to be at the hospital premises on the weekend? Did you include that in your presentation today?
So when I'm on call Saturday.
I don't mean you. I mean everybody. The people who are on call. I don't mean
me and all of those who take call like me.
Right.
Right. So on Saturday, Sunday, or holidays, when we're on call, we have to be there to make sure that all the services are taken care of. Now, if it's 6 o'clock at night and everyone's tucked in and everything is good, then the individual can go home and continue to take call with the pager.
So if you're on call, you're actually on the premises. You're not somewhere else doing phone triage, doing work remotely. Is that what you're saying?
It's it's mixed. When you're on call, you can be off. So on, like on Saturday, if everything is taken care of at 6 o'clock at night, no further need for me to be there. The patients have been cared for. The plans have been made. Everything is tucked in. Then I can go home and continue my call with over the phone, and sometimes I'll need to be called back in to see a patient at the bedside to further care for that patient. But it's a mix. I mean,
I guess what I'm getting at, if someone's on call, are they required to be at the hospital premises? That's really what I'm trying to get at.
Yes.
So on a Saturday, if you work,
who's answering that
question? Monday through Friday.
If you're on call,
you're on call for that particular weekend, it's your time to be on call for that particular weekend. You will go into the hospital on that Saturday and Sunday?
Yes.
Not just that you might, but
no,
you will.
You will.
I think that was Scott's question. Okay.
Well, I thought you were referring to later on in the evening. If everything is done, are you still able to go home, or do you have to be in the hospital 24 hours a day?
Right. Okay.
Well, so you don't have to be in the hospital 24 hours a day.
A physical period of time, you're in the hospital on Saturday and on Sunday for those days that you're on call on the weekend.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you're on call for the 24 hours or the 48 hours of the weekend, and then you may be called back or you may be called on the phone outside of those regular working hours on a Saturday or a Sunday.
Exactly. Okay. Right.
Karen?
Okay. 48 hours, you're on call. No, I mean, it really gets down to it. You're on call for 48 hours. I'm hearing you say that you have to physically be there 16 of those hours. Correct?
Well, it varies. So I'm on call 24 hours. Okay. I used to be on call 48.
Right. required to be on call over a 24-hour period.
Yes.
Basically, you have to be there 8 hours, and the other, 16, you could be called back.
You have to be there as long as it takes to take care of those services. So it could be 8 hours, it could be 10 or 12.
8 hours. I mean, that's what we're trying to get at. There's a period when you have to physically be there.
Yes.
It takes care of it. Let's just call it 8 hours. The other
sure.
16 you're on, you could be called back.
Exactly.
Okay. When you're on call, is that a flat rate that you're offered for that service, or is that an hourly rate?
Pager call is 1 to 4. So it's... if you're outside of the hospital, you're answering the phone, you're talking
okay.
to the... Yeah, 1 to 4.
I'm really trying to get to the difference of where I'm trying to go to is, in a world I was in, you were on call and paid, like, let's just say $200 for that day. It wasn't an hourly rate. It was a flat rate for on-call. Okay, you're paid hourly, and it's in a four-hour block. So you've basically got 2 4-hour blocks when you're on call. You get paid X amount for those 4 hours, correct?
Right.
If you are on call, let's say I'm on call Monday night.
I didn't bring it.
And I'm on call until 8 a.m. the next morning. So that's a 15-hour period of time that I am on call.
Okay.
During that time, if I'm not in the hospital, I get paid 1 hour to every four.
So
it's a 15-hour time period, and it turns out to be, in essence, 3.75
okay,
hours.
Okay, so you're paid an amount per whatever the formula is. Should you be called back, do you still get the on-call pay plus the callback pay?
No, you don't.
So one thing stops and the other thing starts?
Yes.
Okay. That's very helpful to me. Thank you.
And what happens if you're on call and they call you on the phone? You don't physically have to come in. How is that? Is that a different pay category if someone calls you and you do something over the phone?
Yeah, the county says, if you have to come in, we're going to pay you additional.
But if you don't have to come in, then
if you don't have to come in, then
on call pay.
Then it's regular on call pay.
You're interacting with the hospital or the patients by phone or not. As long as you don't physically come into the hospital, then you just get the standard on call.
The 1 to 4, correct? Yeah.
I got a question. I need some clarification on the on call. So you come in. When you come in and you're making rounds, is that pay? Time and a half? Is it overtime pay?
It's not overtime pay. It's a base plus 42. So you get your base pay plus a differential, but it's not strictly time and a half.
What does base plus 42 mean? What's 42?
Base is your regular base pay,
yeah.
Your hour pay,
yeah.
Plus the $42 an hour bonus.
$42 an hour bonus.
So if the base pay is 50, they get $92
Got it.
Dollars per hour.
$92 an hour, yeah.
Sir, I just want to clarify that this is mandatory and required by physicians in your department, so there's no option.
No, if I want to work, so I'm old school. I was in the Department of Surgery, which is now merged with Family Medicine, Inpatient Family Medicine. So when I, thank you.
Yeah.
Just dumped my water here. When I become a member of the department, it's laid out there. If you're going to be a member of this department, you are going to have to share in the call duty and participate just like everybody else equally.
Okay. Thank you.
Don't you have somebody?
Or Deborah, I think.
Was no, my question was answered.
Richard? Yeah, I guess I want to understand, clarify everybody else's, so why not? We are talking about two different things here because I think we're mixing and matches. We have on-call pay and we have call-back pay, which you call call-work pay. Am I right about that?
That's correct.
But they're two separate animals. And the on-call is there because it almost is a regular thing. If that's your, we count the compensation on the on-call, which is the 1 for 4, right?
Your on-call pay is 1 to 4, right?
All right. And that's a scheduled thing. Now, the callback pay, and this is like I'm dredging my memory here, the significance was that you were going to be on site, or some physicians were on site, and it wasn't the whole time of the on-call period, which was a 24-hour clock or ran the whole distance. But you were going to be there, and it was scheduled. it was like if an admissions clerk, for whatever reason, wanted to know, well, who's going to do this because it's Saturday afternoon, they knew a list. There was a list of what physician or was going to be the one done with it. It wasn't like, hey, who's working today? It wasn't that. It was more like they knew there was a physician on site that was who things were directed to. And that's where I got the scheduled part of it. And I think why we were drifting towards, you know, that being included, because it was a known thing. When I see scheduled, I'm thinking about somebody totally different job, doing their job, and they need an answer. They go to a piece of paper or on a computer screen, and they see who it is. That, to me, means scheduled. Okay, whether you happen to be in callback, call work, or even on call, and it probably would delineate between the two, type of thing. So that's what I see as scheduled, and I'm hearing you saying that there is a schedule to you being there or a physician being there when they're on call, at least for a part of each day that they're on call.
So, in particular the weekends. For the regular weekday, that's one thing. But for the weekends, if McDonald's on call, mm-hmm. the ERC's at, they know that McDonald's right. is in-house. But there's two issues here. One is what the mandatory presence on the weekends and holidays. But we're also arguing that when we're on call at night and we have to be called back in, that is not black and white, that being called back in to manage a patient is actually just an extension of the management that you have already been doing while you're on the phone. So there's those two issues there that are important. That's why we say that the nature of our work is different. When you're considering being on call and then being called back in, our work never stops. So when we're on call and we get called back in, that's just taking it a step further.
If you define compensation as by the hour, then you have regular time and overtime. And I think that's basically how you do it. What strikes me is most of what you've been describing in the plain English definition of overtime is overtime, as contrasted to normal time. But you make a second point that an error took place that you've relied upon, and that error has progressed for a number of years, and consequently it's reasonable to continue to
perpetuate it.
I guess I'm asking you to respond to both those. Why is what you're describing not overtime? Is the more persuasive of your reasons on why it should be recognized as additional compensation that's not overtime is because an error was in fact made some years back.
The issue of the error, first of all, care in the hospital never stops. So part of our ongoing duty is an expectation of this additional work. We don't have the option. We have to provide it. So I'm on the books for 40 hours a week that is benefited, that I can get further accruals with respect to vacation and sick leave and so forth. But that's not the reality. The reality is I'm actually working more like an 80 to 100-hour work week. Those additional hours are not benefited. The only benefit that I've got from that has been really that accounts towards my pension. But our department provides that service, and it's you just can't look for people who are going to do it. I mean, that's our group is responsible for that. That's a mandatory item. So that's why it's not simply just overtime. With respect to, the two things about the Cesera decision. One, back in June. One is that we feel that it is justified to count this as pensionable income. So we want to see that going forward. But the other aspect of it is that they said, it's been 14, 15 years, we see that we've made a mistake, and then they're going to apply it to the folks who've been under an agreement for all that time. The retroactive application is just grossly unfair. So, Marilyn's heard. I've met so many hours with Marilyn about this, so she's...
There's a comment back here.
Hi, I'm Scott Lolliger. I'm a family physician. I work in the OB department of the hospital. I'm also the vice president of the doctor. I wanted to offer a different perspective about the nature of the hours that physicians work.
Just as Scott comes up, Dr. Torna Benning, she's the medical director of inpatient care, and she was going to say a few words, and then our attorney, Arthur Liu, also was going to make some summary points. So.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your indulgence. Anyway, as a perspective, I think everybody realizes that physicians are exempt employees. I don't get paid for lunch. I don't get a break. When I was hired into the county 11 years ago by Dr. Jeff Smith, I had come from a rural practice where I was the medical director of another small rural county where I carried my pager 24/7. I was compensated on a yearly basis. Of course, you can take years and you can calculate hourly wages, which is what's being attempted here. But in fact, I'm paid a monthly wage, and that's what I was hired. So when someone recruited me and I came down, they say, you make X amount per month. You can multiply those months by 12. For other purposes, obviously for vacation, for sick leave, they take that back into an hourly wage. But when I was hired here, first things first, I was expected to take call. Okay, I'm a high-end family physician. I do obstetrical OB. I do operative gynecology. I do things that most family docs don't do. But because I needed to be on call, including pager call and callback call, I live in Martinez, 5 minutes away from the hospital. As you may know, the obstetrical department in Martinez is a very high-volume, high-risk place. There are in-house docs that are there on call. Some of the on-call docs have their on-call time counted towards this sort of artificially crafted 40-hour work week. But I have never worked 40 hours. I didn't work 40 hours medical school. I'm old school. When I was in residency before the hours restriction, I worked 110, 120 hours a week. Now, nobody asked me how much I made per hour, because if they did, they'd be appalled. So now I work in the hospital with the expectation that you can call a call, you can call a callback, but it's part of my regular week. And so as one of four on-call obstetricians, I have to live within 15 minutes. When I take weekend call, it starts at 5 on Friday and it goes till 6:30 on Monday. I can't go anywhere. Okay, I answer my pages. I run into the hospital. The on-call doc in my situation has probably saved the county tens of millions of dollars in malpractice. Because by having an extra physician available when we have two C-sections and you don't have two operative OB people in the building, that's me. Now, you can call it call, but that's part of my regular work week. For 11 years, every fourth weekend, I take this call. I also take Wednesday. Every Wednesday for 11 years, I have to rearrange my schedule to be available and to come in at a moment's notice. So for me, and I think for many of the other of the physicians that are sitting here, the idea that we're going to, one, go back to some agreement in 1997, but it sort of fits in with the larger discussion that's going on at the state level. And I know it, you know, we're always being compared and contrasted, say, with the safety, who also have a fair amount of call, you know, the people that work in the jails and the prison. But in this case, there's a covenant between me and the hospital administration, which is, this is what we expect you to do. And I do it. Now, I get compensated for it. I have to calculate for it. I have to calculate the base plus 42. But it's never not been part of my regular work. And it's never been not part of any physician's work in the hospital. So I fill out my timesheets, and they call me. I'm not even an hourly employee. I'm called a monthly employee. So nobody asks me how many hours I work during a month. I just have to work the month. So I think part of the thing that Dr. McDonald's trying to say is, what are we calling call when it's the usual and regular work of all physicians? Now, the administration may eventually decide that we're just going to hire shift workers. And they're going to pay lots more, because those people are all going to be 8-hour shift, 10-hour shift, plus benefits, plus. And right now, the hospital and essentially physicians have agreed that this is how we make the place run, this is how we keep patients safe, and this is what is needed. It's not like I'm working overtime or extra time. So we're now trying to recraft the language so that we can say, no, you don't really get paid for that. And I think one of the issue is for many of us, this is a third to a half of our pensionable income. It's not small. And it's always been part of my work. So I don't think, I never consider this overtime. My average week is at least 60 hours, and it has been for many, many years.
Well, you're in the select fraternity because there are a number of people work those kinds of hours. Question for you. Does your employment agreement require you to live within 15 minutes of the county hospital?
When I take this call, yes.
To be within 15 minutes.
To be within 15 minutes.
Yeah, no, I'm just asking. Yeah. Do you have a written employment agreement with the county?
I work under the MOU.
Okay. Does the MOU obligate county physicians to live within 15 minutes of the facility? That's the question.
There's probably no language in the MOU that obligates anybody, but it is the usual expected and the professional standard for how far away someone who's doing OB. It's a departmental standard.
So it's not a contractual obligation. It's a departmental expectation.
Right. But it's also an expectation of the hospital administration to make sure that a baby doesn't die because we don't have enough staff. So I think it's been sort of an agreement that that is not languaged in the MOU. No.
It may be in the medical staff bylaws. We have our own medical staff bylaws.
But there isn't a contract that requires it. I'm just asking a basic question. I'm just trying to understand the positions. There's no contract that requires
it. I've never seen language in the MOU that states how far or close you need to live.
Okay.
No, there isn't.
Deborah.
So do all of the doctors work the same schedule that you do? I appreciate, by the way, your dedication to the profession, and I think we all understand that. So is it pretty much across the board all the doctors work the same amount of on-call duty, callback pay?
Everybody who lives within the 15-minute range.
Not everyone does.
Not everybody lives within that range, which is you know, problematic for the hospital, but everybody has the expectation to do extra hours to cover the service, yes.
Okay, so there's an expectation, but in reality, is there the same amount of hours being spread across all the doctors? I think the answer you're giving me is no.
I don't think all of us have the same reimbursement, nor do we work the same number of hours.
But within the department, of medicine, there's a call coverage expectation and service need. Surgery the same thing, OB the same thing. The people who work within those groups share in the similar obligation of providing that service and working those extra hours.
All in the same level?
All in the same month?
In the same proportion, I should say.
Yeah.
Everybody
We're
within
all expected
those groups
to share equally in that. Mm-hmm. Some months, you know, someone may be on vacation and others may have to chip in a little bit more and so forth. But it is spread out amongst the department members to share equally.
My question along with Deborah's, is this something scheduled, like you're saying, every 4 weeks? I'm trying to understand, is this something where somebody volunteers, they get more money? Is it scheduled, and if you can't make it that weekend, does somebody trade with you another weekend?
If it's scheduled. We have a very complicated, very sophisticated scheduling system where you can look up everybody who's on call or on schedule or on the hook or in the hospital or on backup. So it is heavily scheduled, and it goes out for months. So if you are not able to cover, I think one of your questions is, if I'm not able to cover, the department's not just say, oh, well, we just don't have anybody for that day, as you might imagine, given the kind of stuff we're covering.
But let's say you want that weekend off for a wedding or something. You shift trade with somebody another weekend?
You either shift or you relinquish it, or you make other arrangements to ensure that's, and so that's actually part of the regular work of the department. That shift, as you can see, has to be covered, is expected to be covered, and can never be left uncovered because of the risks of not having enough physicians in certain circumstances. So in that sense, it's a regular call. Like I said, I've been doing this for 11 years, every fourth weekend, every Wednesday. And if I want to go on vacation, then the department will look for someone to cover for me, or I look for someone myself. So in that respect, I think it is a regularly scheduled thing. It's not random. It's not like this week, let's see who wants to sign up and who needs extra money. And like I said, when I was hired by Dr. Smith, there was an expectation that I wasn't going to work 5 days a week, one morning clinic, one afternoon clinic, because all of us in the department have a variety of profiles that are hard to categorize based on what you're going to pay me by this sort of crafted hourly wage. And that's what I think is problematic.
Dr. Tornabene, yeah. Opportunity to
thank you.
Thanks, Scott.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Felicia Tornabene. I'm the hospitalist medical director at Contra Costa County. I oversee the operations of the Family Medicine Surgery Service, the Inpatient Division of Internal Medicine, and the Critical Care Department. And I don't want to be too repetitive. I am certainly open for questions, but let me just describe the nature of the work. The nature of the work on weekends is required. It is divided equally amongst all department members. It has never been optional. I have been at the county as an employee since 2006. I did my residency there before that. As the former inpatient division chair of the Department of Internal Medicine, I was also the scheduler. I did that for almost 2 years. It is an equally divided burden, and we are there every single weekend. The hospital would not run if we were not there. And it is overtime, but it is a basic expectation of our work that we do that every day of the week. When we're there at 8 a.m. on Saturday morning, Sunday morning, and every holiday, and we start rounding on the patients. We stay there until the work is done. More and more, we're staying there for even 24 hours because of the care that's needed for our patients. And I think everyone else has already said what I would like to say, so I am certainly open for questions, but I just want to verify, and you have my written statement, that everything that has been said here is certainly accurate and an important part of the job that we do. I certainly have some copies here of the job postings dating back to 2007. All of the job announcements say that on-call work is a required part of the work, including the one that we just sent out this past summer that says weekends and overnights are a required part of the work.
Karen, you had a question.
I had a quick question about the weekend work that we've been talking about. There's another pay item called physician weekend rounds, and that's included in your pensionable compensation. Mm-hmm. That's not an issue here today. I just wanted to be clear on that.
I can clarify the roles.
But the issue with that is that because we were never informed or instructed that we had to fill out our timesheets differently, historically, over the past 14 years, we have put down our work in the hospital, including that on the weekends and on holidays, as call worked or call back. We didn't know, based on Cesera's decision in 97, that we had to put that on our timesheets differently. We never received instruction from Cesera or from administration. Dr. Tremaine, who unfortunately is not here today, who was the hospital administrator at that time, or chief medical officer, he himself says, I never was instructed to direct our physicians to do otherwise. So over this time, it's always been labeled as or marked down on the timesheets as call work.
Description of the work that you do on the weekend, where you said you have to come in, you have to see patients, you have to do rounds, that could be characterized as this other pay item, physician weekend rounds, as opposed to what you call work or call back?
Technically, I suppose so, but for us, it's all...
It's the same work. And so since June, then all of the on-call physicians who are in the departments that I oversee, when they come in on the weekends, are starting to characterize that as weekend rounds. Up until then, we characterized it as call worked or differential call back pay.
So now when you work the weekend, through your department, code it as physicians weekend rounds, which is an
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the time we're there now, we're just putting it down as weekend round so that there's no ambiguity. No.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Though that just started just a few months ago.
Just with regards to that particular issue, if you're physically at the facility, then now you're coding it as weekend rounds, even though it may be beyond the mandatory required or expected 8 hours or 7 hours every Saturday or every Sunday?
What we are doing is characterizing that as weekend rounds all day. And when I say 8 hours, 7 hours, we leave when the work is done. It's not necessarily at just 8 hours.
But
if everything's running smoothly
mm-hmm.
on a Saturday or a Sunday, and you come in at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock or whatever time, what's the expected or mandatory time period, if everything's running smoothly, that you're required to be there?
It really depends on, you leave. There's no minimum expectation. You leave when the work is done. And so the two primary on-call physicians are invariably there for at least 8 hours. The backup physician sometimes a few hours less. But the two primary on-call physicians for inpatient internal medicine and the Department of Family Medicine and critical care are there for usually a minimum of 8 hours.
It usually works out to be 10 to 12 hours that someone is there.
Okay, but if you're there on-call on the 1 to 4, you're getting that pay and weekend physician rounds?
So I'm Sharon Heiner. I'm a retired internal medicine department physician. I worked there in the county for 30 years, and I was actually in charge of negotiating kind of for PDOC about call issues. So during my 30 years, I was on call about every fifth weekend. And what I just want to give you a sense, because I'm not hearing that you understand a sense. So we come in the morning. I used to come in at 6 o'clock in the morning, and we would have a panel of patients that needed to be seen. So say there's 50 patients in the hospital. As the attending, we have residents, right? So we have residents who are in training, but they need a senior attending to round with them on their patients, to see critically ill patients, to see patients who are in the emergency room who may or may not need to be admitted, to do consults and other services, and a resident can't do any of those things. And so basically a senior medicine attending came into the hospital, rounded on patients, meaning going to the bedside, examining them, writing a note, writing orders, following up on their x-rays. And that all has to be done on the weekends, just as it has to be done during the week. With the resident work hours, so residents are not allowed to work very many hours anymore. And so what that means is that the attending staff has to make up for the hours that the residents, you know, get to have a day off. So residents are required to have a day off every week. We are not. And so we would basically be there doing their work for them. And so, you know, someday you may have 8 patients to see. Some days, I think the most patients I ever saw in a day was 24 patients. And I can guarantee you that was not a 8-hour day. I got there at 6 o'clock in the morning, and I left at midnight.
I got to tell you, my frustration isn't the work you do and the value of the work you do. I'm trying to figure out how you characterize this.
Called car worked.
Okay,
that was called.
I really don't want to go backwards. Okay. I want to go where we are now. You say there's this physician round. So when you're on call, you come in and determine how many hours you got to be there to take care of everything till you go home. We all get that. But if you're there for X hours, are you getting the on-call and the physician rounding? That's what I'm trying to get at.
No.
But you're saying now there are no more. You may call it on-call. I'm on call this weekend. But when I go in, I now mark it on my timesheet as physician round. Mm-hmm. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes.
So, I mean, what we're talking is there's legal issues and there's semantic issues here, and that's where my frustration is coming. If we no longer have on-call, other than the fact that in the vernacular of the world, on-call means you've worked your 40-hour week and you're on-call this weekend, we understand you're on-call, but we don't call it that when you fill out your timesheet. You're calling it physician rounds, correct?
We are now.
You are now.
The timesheets didn't have that category.
Pardon me?
So our timesheets didn't have a category.
Going there. I'm where we are now going forward. You're telling me you're no longer charging.
No.
Yeah.
No,
tell
no,
us
no,
what
no,
you're
no,
doing
no, no,
now.
So currently what we're doing on our timesheets, to help clarify, is that when I'm on call on Saturday,
and I'm there in the hospital for 8 hours,
right,
I will put on my timesheet 8 hours of weekend rounding.
Okay.
And then the time that I leave the hospital, then I start my on-call time.
And that's fine. I understand that.
Okay.
And then during that on-call time, you may be called back for call work.
Exactly.
Okay. Where I'm trying to go is, in my mind, we have two issues. How are we going to treat these people that for 14 years we've been collecting and or have retired?
Right.
And what we're going to do going forward?
Right.
And if that means that county MOUs need to change their language so that we can meet the letter of the law, you know, that's what I'm trying to get at here. I think we all understand the concern. Again, not what you do and how valuable it is, but what we're going to call it. And if nobody anymore is, there's still call back pay is what I'm hearing. And you could have done your physician rounding, even though you're on call, but you're doing physician rounding. Now you're on call. You get those whatever hours. And then during that time, you're called back. So there's really still three pay codes here. And you're asking us, which I'm not arguing the merits, that you want all three of those to be pension compensable.
Yeah, because basically what you're with asking. Respect to the letter of the law, we don't really know what the letter of the law is.
And I appreciate that. But I needed to have a clear understanding, so when we have this conversation with our legal representatives and our conversation here, there's certain questions I'm going to want answered.
Right. So just going back to the basic discussion of our call and our call worked, we're saying that the nature of that work duty is a continuation, that call back is an extension and inseparable from being on call.
And going to John's question, you do not consider that overtime.
No.
In the regular world, we might call that overtime. You don't. Not because of the nature of the work, but because that's what doctors and physicians do.
It's an expectation of our group. Yes.
I just want to say a little bit about overtime. So in our 40-hour work week, the typical Monday through Friday 40-hour work week, my usual hours were 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. I did not charge any overtime, and I did not charge any call. So I worked 12-hour days and got paid for an 8-hour day because we were not allowed to charge overtime. So,
is that because you were a salaried exempt employee and your salary was
right.
based on performing a
But then they have to break it down by hour.
Yes, but
yeah, I understand.
So does anybody get overtime in your group?
Exactly.
Is there anybody? We just did the MOU. There's no overtime in there, is there?
Well, an example of an overtime situation
is,
so I'm backed up on my continuity clinic. I haven't been able to get patients into my clinics. I've done this. I add a night clinic where I control the roster, and I get the patients in that roster that need to be seen. I'm doing that voluntarily to make up for a deficit. That's straight time overtime.
Okay.
There are other examples where, you know.
That helps me understand when or how overtime is applied to a physician.
Right. If there's additional administrative duty that's required by the system for us to do, they say, you know, please stay and do this work. We'll pay you whatever. But that's STOT. But with respect to our call work, our call duty, all of that is a requirement of the department, part of our regular job.
Okay. Did your attorney want to make a comment today or save that?
Maybe I'll just make
okay.
two brief points.
I know this has been a very long discussion, but I really appreciate the opportunity
it's been very
to be here.
David.
Yeah.
This is more complicated than organic chemistry.
You remember the loops and the bonds?
Yes. The loops keep going round and round.
I'll try to keep this brief. I just want to emphasize two points. The first is that I think you hear it in the doctor's voices. They're in this position through no fault of their own. At some point, whatever the CSERA policy was, it did not get implemented properly. And if they had been told to record their time differently by the county, for instance, to distinguish scheduled and unscheduled call, they would have done that gladly. But not having been told anything, they were under the impression and operated under the impression, especially because contributions were being taken out and pensions were being paid with these pay items included, that this was CSERA policy and that this was properly being reflected in what everyone was doing. The second point is that even under existing board policy now, even if the CSERA board ultimately decides that not all callback work by physicians should be included, existing policy for CSERA is that scheduled weekend callback should be included. And so part of what we're asking is at a minimum that CSERA remain consistent with that policy. And there was this concern expressed by the CSERA staff in the letter that you have in your packet regarding whether you can distinguish for these folks in the past who have recorded everything as call worked, whether you can distinguish between the scheduled portion of that and the unscheduled portion of that. And we think that there are very least ways to estimate what portion of that was scheduled, because we can look and see that, so, you know, this particular doctor was scheduled to be on call on the weekend or a holiday, and we know for a fact that that requires, inherent in being on call on a weekend or a holiday, it requires that physician to come in and perform these these duties at the facility. And that's always been the way that this kind of work has operated for the physicians, as far back as anyone can remember. And that was the case in the late 90s when these policies were adopted post-Ventura by the CSERA board. So this is what was actually contemplated by CSERA when it was enacting that policy. So as you can see, this is an important issue for a lot of the physicians. We'll glad to have this opportunity to answer your questions, and you know, we hope that the CSERA board will make the right decision going forward.
Great. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Appreciate it, everyone coming in. So we will refer this to counsel for analysis, and I'm sure that physicians and their attorney will be available for any questions that may come up with regards to that. Again, thank you very much for coming in. Sorry, Karen.
Okay, and I support that motion, and we'll look forward to it. In the analysis, and this may be more narrative anecdotal than it would be legal, but one of the issues I'm concerned about is that money has been collected on this pay code for all these years. So if the legal recommendation back to us for our policy decision is that this is not pension compensable, I would like information on what legally we need to do. Do we return that? The attorney just mentioned Ventura, and that from what I'm hearing, and nobody in current CSERA administration was here when this was done, and whether it's CSERA's fault, county employment fault, whatever, somebody, you know, how are we going to rectify that situation if, in fact, the legal response comes back to us? My other comment is I would like legal advice on what we do going forward. My last question of the three different pay codes, and I recognize that our responsibility regarding overtime is that that's not pension compensable. My personal opinion, based on what I've heard, is, and I know we have public safety here, but they work different shifts than are covered, and they have overtime and what have you. I think this is a unique situation. So how can we, what are the various options for addressing this issue going forward? Do we need to change the name of it? Do we need to amend legal documents via MOUs? Should this board decide that it does want to have these different pay codes as pension compensable? I'm not saying we have decided that, but I would like a lot of information on the options that we have available when that comes back to us.
Okay. All right. Okay. Moving.
So, do we need a motion? I'll move that we refer this back to council.
I'll second.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries.
And just to clarify here, council is going to look at A, what we do with a situation if we determine it isn't giving them back money, that type of thing. Is that what council is going to look at?
One of them.
Okay. All right. And since we're also innocent about that, is that the employer is going to give us that money back? I mean, who? is the person who made the so-called error held responsible, or is this like a deep pockets where we, you know, the fund type of eats it because of whatever? I'm just, if we're going to go down the path, let's go all the way down the path, and you know, so I'm just kind of curious about that. And could we have some legality about these terms? I keep hearing weekends like it's Saturday and Sunday. And I have many friends who work, their weekends are Tuesday and Wednesday. I don't think weekends mean Saturday or Sunday in the real world. I think in the work world it means 2 days off. And it could be a lot of things, and especially at a hospital. You have people who work the hospital. Do you know what I mean? So I think we need to take a look at what we're talking about, weekends, because it all seemed to drift to this Saturday talk, and your weekend on 24/7 people, they have weekends Monday, Tuesday?
You're right, Richard, they do, but I heard from the doctors that their work schedule is Monday through Friday as opposed to a Thursday through Monday and getting Tuesday and Wednesday off. They don't schedule that way. I agree with you. There is, in the work world, we look at those 2 days off could be in the middle of the week, but I didn't hear that from the doctors.
Okay.
We have the motion. We need to vote.
Okay. Or we did vote, didn't we?
We did vote.
Yeah,
we did.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Sorry. Missed it.
You know us.
Good, thanks.
Okay, moving on to item 5.